from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. The United Nations Security Council condemns terrorist attack in Pakistan. Malaysian minister inspects Asian Games sport facilities. Now the news in detail. The Security Council on Saturday, July 14, condemned in the strongest terms Friday's terrorist attack in southwestern Pakistan that killed 128 people and injured 200 others. The members of the council expressed their deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of the victims and to the Pakistani government and wished a speedy and full recovery to those who were injured, said the council in a press statement received. They underlined the need to bring perpetrators, organizers, financiers, and sponsors of these reprehensible acts of terrorism to justice and urge all UN member states to cooperate actively with the government of Pakistan and all other relevant authorities in this regard. They reaffirmed that terrorism in all its forms and manifestations constitutes one of the most serious threats to international peace and security, and called on all states to combat by all means threats to international peace and security caused by terrorist acts. The suicide bombing in Mustang in the southwestern Balochistan province that targeted on an election campaign event was the deadliest terrorist attack in Pakistan this year. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed relief after the personally tested the light rail transit LRT system being built in Palembang, South Sumatra. He even felt it was better than in Europe. President Joko Widodo rode the maiden trip on the LRT from the Icon Mall station with his wife, First Lady Iriana. After being on the train for around 15 minutes, he and his entourage went down at the Jakabaring station located in front of Jakabaring Sport City at around 2:40 p.m. He said Indonesia should be proud because it was able to build an LRT system by itself. The Indonesian government has decided to build an LRT system to serve transportation needs during the 18th Asian Games, which will be held in Palembang and Jakarta from August 18 to September 2nd. Although initially intended for a short-term purpose, it is now expected to meet the long-term needs of the city, which is predicted to grow into a major metropolis. The government plans to build more LRT systems in other cities such as Surabaya, Bandung, and Medan. Testing for the new LRT system is on its final stages, with authorities now looking at worthiness standard before producing certificates of construction and transportation safety. Inspecting Jakabaring Sport City in the South Sumatran capital of Palembang on Saturday, July 14, Malaysian Youth and Sport Affairs Minister Syed Saddiq said that he was amazed at the development and preparations for the 2018 Asian Games facilities and infrastructure. Sadiq remarked that major preparation and development of sport facilities for the Asian Games conducted by the Indonesian government is truly amazing. After inspecting the Sriwijaya Sport Plaza in Palembang, the Malaysian Youth and Sport Affairs Minister stated that all preparations for the Asian Games are very good, as many countries in Asia will join the international sporting events in Jakarta and Palembang. According to him, the 2018 Asian Games will also be able to strengthen the bilateral relations of Indonesia and Malaysia. Furthermore, he noted that Asian Games sport competition is not just a matter of to win or to lose, but to improve the spirit of unity among nations. Several musicians involved in the creation of the song titled Bright as the Sun for the 18th Asian Games hope that it would encourage athletes who will compete in the quadrennial sport event. Singer Rian Eki Pradipta, known as the vocalist of The Massive, noted that the song carries the message of friendship, unity, and sportsmanship. The song is written to represent the spirit of the athletes and to also boost friendship and unity. Hopefully, the songs would be able to boost the spirit of athletes to win gold medals in the Asian Games as a first step to conquering the world, Rian, who is also the songwriter, stated at Bung Karno's Aquatic Stadium, Jakarta recently. Not only Bright as the Sun, but other songs such as Conquering the World, sung by Once, along with young singer Sakira Jasmine, is also dedicated to athletes. The song echoes a sense of excitement, with despair not posing a hurdle to achieving victory. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Mount Agung in Bali has erupted again this morning, spewing dust clouds up to 1,500 meters above its crater at 4,642 meters above sea level. The ash cloud is observed as a thick, intense cloud that tends to face the southeast region and west, said the National Disaster Mitigation Agency spokesman Sutopo Purwonugroho on Sunday, July 14. The Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Center stated that the eruption was recorded by the agency's seismograph and so that it had maximum amplitude of 24 millimeters during 1 minute and 45 second duration. According to Sutopo, the status of Mount Agung is currently at alert level 3 stages or siaga and recommends people to not conduct any activities in the region considered to be within the danger zone, which includes hiking. The danger zone is set in a 4-kilometer radius from Mount Agung's crater. The ministry's second recommendation is for residents that live and conduct activities near the lakes that disembark at Mount Agung to avoid any secondary danger threats such as volcanic mud flow that can potentially take with it that materials prior to the eruption. Mount Agung, located in Karangasem District, Bali Province, erupted again early this month, but it had no impact on the tourism industry on the famous resort island. The tourism industry was unaffected as the eruption was relatively of low intensity and the volcano was quite far from most of the attractive tourist destinations. The 3,142-meter high Mount Agung had been rumbling since August 2017 and had erupted in November. The volcano later became relatively calm until the most recent eruptions, which occurred on July 2nd, when it sent out burning lava up to 1.5 kilometers high. According to Devi Kamil Shahbana of the Center for Volcanology and Geology Disaster Mitigation, the condition of Mount Agung was still unstable and it was likely to erupt again at low intensity. The last item. Indonesian wushu team won 1 gold, 4 silver, and 5 bronze medals in the Junior World Championships in Brasilia, Brazil from July 9 to 16. The gold medal of the Indonesian wushu team was presented by Jevon Kusmoyo, who played in the Taiji Kwan B event. The Indonesian Wushu Association stated in written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Saturday, July 14. Indonesian Minister of Industry Erlangga Artarto who is also the chairman of WUSHU Indonesia Supervisory Board, stated that the team has collected 1 gold, 4 silver, and 5 bronze medals. Hartarto is optimistic that Indonesian WUSHU athletes will be able to showcase their best performance to increase their medals. PB WUSHU Indonesia sent 20 junior WUSHU athletes consisting of 12 Talu athletes and 8 San athletes. He noted they are the athletes of the National Senior Championships and Junior Cup Kings in Yogyakarta in March. Besides winning the gold medal, Jevon Kusmoyo also won the silver medal in Taiji number in the WUSHU Championship and a discipline in Moscow, Russia from February 16 to 20, 2018. The red and white team won 3 golds, 2 silvers, and 1 bronze. PB WUSHU Indonesia will continue to spur the spirit of the athletes in order to remain a pride for the entire nation of Indonesia. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The United Nations Security Council condemns terrorist attack in Pakistan. Malaysian minister inspects Asian Games sport facilities. That was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, which today is on Asian Games Security 2018 at stake for Indonesia. Chairman of the House of Representatives, Bambang Susatyo, reminded Indonesian National Police, Indonesian National Army, and the State Intelligence Agency to ensure that the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang are sterile from terrorist threats. Bambang Susatyo, in his statement as quoted by the National Radio News Agency on Tuesday, said the slightest threat to the hosting of the Asian Games 2018 should not be allowed. Therefore, the House of Representatives encourages the police, the national military, and the State Intelligence Agency to increase the intensity of the operation to eliminate the threat of terrorist cells. Meanwhile, the former chairman of the Law Commission of the House of Representatives confirmed that the House leadership paid serious attention to the fist bombing incident in Bangil Pasuruan, East Java last week. According to him, the incident is a proof of the continued existence of active terrorist cells and continue to lurk. Bambang Susatyo added that the activities of terror cells appear from the findings that show the owner of the Pasuruan bomb is a member of the terrorist network. The owner, he said, has a background as a former terrorist prisoner who was freed from Cipinang prison in 2015. Subsequently, the bomber is affiliated with Jamaah Ansarud Daulah in Depok and Medan and allegedly involved in the bomb explosion bike in Kalimalang in 2010. Based on the records, owner of Pasuruan bomb allegedly interacted with his fellow members of the terrorist network. This is a possibility to watch out for. He said terrorists are always looking for momentum to act. For example, the alleged terrorist who was shot dead in Pamanukan flyover Subang, West Java on June the 22nd and allegedly planned to conduct terror during voting election regional head Pilkada, while the 18th Asian Games, which will be opened on August the 18th, will be attended by delegates from 45 participating countries with a number of athletes reaching 16,000 people. At the momentum, like Asian Games, terrorists are trying to find ways and opportunities to launch the action. By acting in arenas or big parties like the Asian Games, the terrorists hope the action gets the attention of the international community. Security of the Asian Games 2018 is really at stake for Indonesia. Meanwhile, the Indonesian National Police made the 2018 Asian Games security as one of the focus in maintaining the security situation and public order. The multi
sports action will take place in more than one provinces, namely in Jakarta, South Sumatra, West Java, and Banten. National Police Chief Tito Karnavian in the 72nd Bayangkara Day at Istora Senayan in Jakarta on Wednesday affirmed the police, along with all government and community components, will work best to ensure the stability of internal security. Previously, Deputy Chief of Police Komjen Sarifudin stated that his side has prepared maximum security to support the success of the Asian Games in Palembang and Jakarta from August the 18th until September the 2nd. Syafruddin, who is also chairman of Asian Games contingent of Indonesia, said Asian Games security is done maximally. 60,000 joint personnel of the Indonesian National Police and the Indonesian Armed Forces were deployed during the event. That was My Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past, as recorded in history. I'll start with July the 15, 1916. Boeing Company is established. The Boeing Company, then called the Pacific Aero Products, is the world's largest multinational company that designs, manufactures, and sells airplanes, rockets, and satellites. The company also provides rental services and the second largest defense contractor in the world based on revenue in 2015. The Boeing Company, headquartered in Chicago, Illinois, was founded by William Edward Boeing, a successful businessman and logger. In 1917, when the United States was involved in World War I, Boeing renamed the company the Boeing Airplane Company, known as the Boeing Company. Although still relatively early in the industry, the war allows Boeing to get a tender for the procurement of 50 aircraft from the United States Aviation Corps. The business grew rapidly into one of Seattle's largest companies. Boeing then concentrated on the successful commercial aircraft industry, also built a fast and efficient mail service and ran the airline. Turning to July the 15, 1940, the death of Robert Wadlow. Robert Pershing Wadlow is the tallest person in the world who ever lived. He is sometimes called the Giant Elton, taken from his hometown of Elton, Illinois. Robert's height reached 2.72 meters with a weight of 220 kilograms when he died. Her large and growing body in adulthood is caused by hypertrophy in the pituitary, which results in the abnormal amount of growth hormone, so growth continues even when he dies. While still alive, Wadlow is the most popular American celebrity of his time. He was so famous that he toured the country in 1936 as part of the Ringling Brothers Circus and promotional tour of Interco in 1938. At that time, he always followed the promotional tour and the public appearance. I'll end Today in History with July the 15, 1964, the Malino Conference. After World War II, Australia surrendered East Indonesia to the Netherlands on July the 15, 1956. Thus, the civil government of the Dutch East Indies regained the territory of Eastern Indonesia, de jure and de facto. Then the Dutch, led by Lieutenant Governor General Van Mook, held the Malino Conference on July the 15th until July the 25th, 1946, in Malino Town, South Sulawesi, to discuss the territorial arrangement. The conference was attended by 39 people from 15 districts of Kalimantan and the Great East with the aim of discussing the plans for the formation of federation states in Indonesia, as well as the plan of country formation covering areas in eastern Indonesia. the conference decided that the state of Indonesia would have to be federal before the federal state should be formed through a transitional period during which the sovereignty remained in Dutch hands. Although the federal state was independent, it remained in contact with the Dutch. It became a total failure, of course, because most Indonesian people insisted on keeping the unitary Republic of Indonesia as proclaimed on August 17, 1945. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Anna, in this week's Spotlight, which is on Indonesia enters 10 safest countries list. President Joko Widodo reminds police not to be complacent. President Joko Widodo disclosed on the 72nd anniversary of the Bayangkara Day or Police Day that Gallup Law and Order polling has placed Indonesia on the list of 10 safest countries in the world. The president revealed the good news during the establishment of the police tradition development in the framework of the 72nd anniversary of Bayangkara Day in Senayan, Jakarta on Wednesday morning. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the achievement is the result of the work of all elements of the nation, in which, of course, there is the role of hard work and dedication of police members. But the president reminded that all members of the police should not quickly become complacent. President Joko Widodo said in the future, the police will face the challenges of increasingly heavy and complex tasks. Demands and expectation of the people against the police is increasing. What's more, today's ever-changing, evolving, and moving world is bringing new threats to the security situation. In the digital era such as now, police should be able to anticipate the development of crime that increasingly diverse that take advantage of advances in information technology. The police should be more prepared in dealing with transnational crimes such as the threat of cybercrime, human trafficking, drug trafficking to arms smuggling. In addition, the police must continue to increase awareness and ability in facing the threat of terrorism crime. Even advanced countries are facing the same threat, he said. Previously, the Chief of Police of the Republic of Indonesia, General Tito Karnavian, exhibited a number of survey results showing an increase in public confidence in the performance of police in the presence of President Joko Widodo. Tito Karnavian said the implementation of the work program, which is professional, modern, and trustworthy, has shown good results. According to him, public confidence continues to increase and the police has penetrated the third rank for institutions trusted by the public. Tito then revealed the results of a survey conducted by several institutions, among others, R&D or Litbang Kompas at the end of June 2016, stated the level of public confidence in the police at 63.2%. The achievement increased 1 year later to 70.2%, then to 82.9% in 2018. The ceremony for the establishment of the police tradition development was also attended by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, Vice President Yusuf Kalla, and Mrs. Mufidah Yusuf Kalla, and other dignitaries. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Security Council on Saturday, July 14, condemned in the strongest terms Friday's terrorist attack in southwestern Pakistan that killed 128 people and injured 200 others. The members of the council expressed their deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of the victims and to the Pakistani government and wished a speedy and full recovery to those who were injured, said the council in a press statement received. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed relief after he personally tested the light rail transit LRT system being built in Palembang, South Sumatra. He even felt it was better than in Europe. Inspecting Jakabaring Sport City in the South Sumatran capital of Palembang on Saturday, July 14, Malaysian Youth and Sport Affairs Minister Syed Saddiq said that he was amazed at the development and preparations for the 2018 Asian Games facilities and infrastructure. Several musicians involved in the creation of the song titled Bright as the Sun for the 18th Asian Games hope that it would encourage athletes who will compete in the quadrennial sport event. Rian Eki Pradipta, known as the vocalist of The Massive, noted that the song carries the message of friendship, unity, and sportsmanship. Mount Agung in Bali has erupted again this morning, spewing dust clouds up to 1,500 meters above its crater, or 4,642 meters above sea level. The ash cloud is observed as a thick, intense cloud that tends to face the southeast region and west, said the National Disaster Mitigation Agency spokesman Sutopo Purwonugroho on Sunday, July 14. Mount Agung, located in Karangasem District, Bali Province, erupted again early this month, but it had no impact on the tourism industry on the famous resort island. Indonesian Wushu team won 1 gold, 4 silver, and 5 bronze medals in the Junior World Championships in Brasilia, Brazil, from July 9 to 16. Listener, that was the news in brief from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including tourist destination, art and culture, and also culinary. Today, I will introduce and invite you to enjoy Kuaru Beach in Yogyakarta. So stay tuned into RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voinews.id. Kuaru Beach is a tourist site located in the village of Poncosari, Serandaan District, Bantul Regency. It is about 29 kilometers from downtown Yogyakarta and can be reached within 45 minutes. Quarry Beach has a characteristic that is not owned by other beaches. It has shrimp pine trees that has a function as a water breaker in the event of a tsunami. In addition, the trees also produce a lot of oxygen so that the air on this beach feels very, very fresh. Quarry Beach has a good road access that has been paved, but there are still difficulties when visitors use a large bus because the available road is not wide enough for large vehicles. Visitors should use smaller vehicles like ordinary car or motorcycles. During the trip, visitors will be treated to views that are hardly found in urban areas such as rice fields and colorful diverse agricultural crops. On Kuaru Beach, there is a wide parking lot available. There are also other facilities for visitors such as musola, toilets, and rental mats. Here, visitors are not only treated to the charm of the beach and sea, but visitors can also enjoy the local culinary. The visit to Kuaru is not complete if you don't try the seafood, because here you can have a barbecue and enjoy various seafood. It is guaranteed delicious because the fish, shellfish, and various seafood are brought and sold by fishermen, so everything is still fresh. Was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder introducing Kuaru Beach in Yogyakarta, Central Jawa Province. We meet again tomorrow with the same segment. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, environment and technology, also lifestyle. This edition explores the topic of ITS students create gel batteries from tomato extract. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. The use of battery as one of the energy source cannot be separated from the daily life. Various digital and electronic support facilities use batteries such as mobile phones, remote controls, laptops, and others. A student innovation team supervisor of Jakarta Institute of Technology, Surabaya, Randi Yusuf Kurniawan, said the composition batteries have electrolytes or chemicals that are harmful to the environment, such as lithium and lead. When used, batteries are discharged indiscriminately or are not recycled, the heavy metal content and other harmful substances present in the battery can contaminate water and soil, which can ultimately harm the human body. That's why a group of students of the Department of Chemistry, 10 November Institute of Technology in Surabaya, namely Febrilia Agar Pramesti Abduh Muharam, Haira Cita, and Putri Augusta Nur Aziza, guided by Endang Purwanti Setia, created a gel battery by utilizing tomato extract instead of harmful chemicals in the battery. Tomato is known as vitamin C source that has a sour taste and is very easy to find in tropical countries such as Indonesia. The fruit is also sold at a relatively cheap price. According to Randy Yusuf, to be used as a substitute for chemicals on the battery, tomatoes must first be measured for its acidity through vitamin C levels and produce 10 to 40 milligrams of vitamin C per 100 grams of tomatoes. Tomatoes that are tested are raw tomatoes, juiced then tested. Randy explained, acid is a sort of protons. When it reacts with electrodes, it will produce electrons that flow into the outer circuit, resulting in electrical current. This liquid-shaped tomato extract produces a small electrical voltage. Therefore, before being assembled into a battery, tomato extracts are added with agarose to be gel-shaped electrolytes. The addition of agarose is capable of increasing the electrolyte density, which makes the value of electrical voltage becomes high. Meanwhile, the team leader, Febrilia Agar Pramesti, said there is a possibility if the scale is up or enlarged, the voltage on the battery gel will be greater. The tomato gel batteries are also rated by the team as capable of producing very stable voltages and currents. Through this innovation, the team hopes the gel battery from tomatoes can be used by the community as an environmentally friendly battery and will continue to refine this invention. They also hope to pass the 31st National Student Scientific Week to be held in August in Yogyakarta. Well, that was Miscellany featuring ITS students create gel batteries from tomato extract. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Abdul Khalil Khalil in Algeria. He was listening to our broadcast in French program through live streaming on June 27 and 30th. Hello, Mr. Abdul Khalil Khalil. Thank you very much for your reception reports of our broadcast, which are very detailed. Your emails have been forwarded to French section. Hopefully, you will be patient to wait for replying your email. As information, our broadcast can be heard again through short waves on frequency of 3325 kHz. Well, Mr. Abdul Khalil Khalil, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
antara kau dan aku. Tahu pasti dirimu, tolong lihat aku dan jawab pertanyaanku, mau dibawa kemana hubungan kita jika kau terus menunda-nunda cinta, mau dibawa kemana hubungan kita, ku tak akan terus jalani tanpa ada ikatan pasti antara kau dan
listener, now we will reply an email from Dr. Dilip Kumar Sarkar in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English through frequency of 3325 kHz on June 19, 2018 at 17:31 hours to 17:53 hours UTC. And the SINPO was 544354. Hello, Mr. Dilip Kumar Sarkar. Thank you for your email in which you said about your reception report. We are glad because finally our regular listener in India can listen to our broadcast clearly through 3325 kHz. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your address. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you very much. And please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, we will play a beautiful song.
Aku tak mampu menyakitimu. Aku tak sanggup untuk menduakanmu.
Listening to listeners mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a tweet from Shinichi Suzuki in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Indonesian program through frequency of 3325 kHz on June 25, 2018 at 1400 hours to 1450 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki said that our broadcast has strong signal and there was no interference. Hello, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really appreciate it. Although you don't understand Indonesian language, you still keep listening to our broadcast until the end. Not only that, your reception report is very detailed in every single minute. And for your information, we still broadcast our program in Japanese language and also other seven foreign languages, namely English, Mandarin, Arabic, French, Spanish, German, and our newest service, Dutch language. We are really sorry for your inconvenience on our frequency of 9525 kHz. Our old frequency is being repaired, and if you cannot hear our Japanese program through 3325 kHz, we will deliver your complaint to our technical division. Well, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So please keep listening to our broadcast, and for you we'll play a beautiful song.
Tak memiliki, ku tak usah. dan pikiranku mencintaimu. Jadi jangan kecewakan aku memilikimu. Harta terbesar di dalam hidupku. Semoga ini selamanya bersama.
Before we end our listeners' mailbag, we want to reply an email from Kenji Takahashi in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through frequency of 3325 kHz on June 16, 2018. He also told that he sent a letter by post and he also enclosed about $1. Hello, Mr. Kenji Takahashi. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. Our Japanese section has received your last letter and the section told that your letter is being replied. As your request, the Japanese section will send our QSL card to your address. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Well, Mr. Kenji Takahashi, please keep monitoring and sending your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRINet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2100 hours to 2200 hours West Indonesia time or 1400 hours to 1500 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access Voice of Indonesia English News Service via RRI Play. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play. And then after you download it, open RRI Play application, choose RRI Net. And then choose RRI Net 720p. Well, listener, before we sign out, we want to say hello to Ma'az bin Sajjad, Sidrat Siddhartha Bhattacharya, Rakesh Rao Hamza Bilakal, and other regular listener who also listen and always listen to our broadcast. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now, and we say thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and also visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate if you send your reception report on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I am Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.